Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Just when you thought the controversy surrounding the University of North Carolina's conservative-dominated Board of Governors had finally subsided, yet another troubling development has arisen. The latest incident involves the board's surprising decision to install conservative activist and lobbyist Daryl Allison as the new chancellor at one of the system's historically black universities, Fayetteville State. The selection has provoked outrage from faculty, alumni, and civil rights groups, and earlier this week, I caught up with one of the journalists who's been keeping close tabs on the story, my NC Policy Watch colleague, investigative reporter Joe Killian. Welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Good to be back.
So, really fascinating story you've been reporting on recently, which is the controversy surrounding the hiring at Fayetteville State University. You've obviously been reporting for a long time about a lot of controversy within the UNC system itself and the Board of Governors, but this most recent episode involves the hiring of a chancellor at Fayetteville State, a historically black college, HBCU. Tell us what happened and what's going on there.
You know, it's interesting because this is sort of the culmination of a lot of things we've reported on at Policy Watch regarding the Board of Governors. The Board of Governors for a few years has been sort of setting the stage for this because they had a series of conflicts with the head of the UNC system, who was Margaret Spellings at the time, and with Carol Fault, who is the chancellor at UNC Chapel Hill. And they've had a few other chancellors they didn't quite see eye to eye with, who were either forced out or ended up resigning, and the board has slowly been putting into place systems that would allow this to happen. They've been talking about considering in the search process for chancellors, candidates who are alternative candidates, candidates who would not typically be thought to be qualified, people who have no, you know, experience in higher education, people who have no experience running organizations like this, people who are from the business world of military rather than from academic. And the new head of the UNC system, the new president, Peter Hans, his very first act of business, in fact, before he even took officially the spot, was to propose a change to the chancellor search process that would allow him, anytime he wanted to, in a search process, to insert finalists who had not been part of the search process that begins at the local level. And the people who he would insert would automatically become finalists. Mm-hmm. This would essentially allow him to bypass the local search and the Board of Trustees level at the school level search for a chancellor to put in whoever he likes. And at the time, he was like, don't worry, we won't abuse this. It's going to be very important that we have the buy-in from the schools. You know, we just want to make sure that we can add candidates if we want to. And he said, and also this is not going to affect the ongoing searches that are happening right now, one of which was Fayetteville State University. Well, lo and behold, they go through this year-long process. There are more than 60 applicants at Fayetteville State. And Daryl Allison, a member of the Board of Governors since 2017, leaves the Board of Governors to become a candidate for this spot. And although he does not, according to several members of the Board of Trustees at that school to whom we spoke, who were directly involved in the process, and also people at the UNC level who were, he was not in the final cut of the people who were going to be sent as finalists. And at the last moment, he was added, and he was chosen. And since then, there's been a tremendous amount of blowback on this. The faculty, students from the National Alumni Association, the NAACP, all of them question the process. They question his credentials.
Yeah, tell us about Allison. I mean, he's an interesting character. What is his background?
Daryl Allison, like I said, he's been a member of the Board of Governors since 2017. But before that, he is primarily notable for having been a very high-powered lobbyist for school choice in North Carolina and through something called the American Federation for Children, which used to be led by Betsy DeVos. He is technically unaffiliated in terms of political affiliation, but has done a tremendous amount of work for conservative causes and for conservative candidates. He is he worked on Jeb Bush's presidential campaign. And so, you know, he was one of very few voting members of the Board of Governors who's black, and as such was brought in on a number of racial issues in the system, including being the chairman of the Race Equity Task Force. And he controversially was part of the negotiations and the final deal to give the Silent Sam Confederate statue to the Sons of Confederate Veterans, along with more than $2.5 million, a deal that he now says he didn't want any part of, but ended up being talked into being a part of. And he thought that the best solution in the end was to give the statue and the money to this Confederate organization, which outraged a lot of people, and importantly, black students and faculty across the system.
among the other interesting things about Allison, of course, is that he had some connections to the Fayetteville State Board, right?
In our reporting, we had heard this, but we were not able to independently verify, but the Fayetteville Observer actually did verify. They got in touch with his mother-in-law, who was a member of the board, and she claims that she was not part of the election process, that she didn't put her thumb on the scale, essentially, that she didn't have conversations about all of this. But he's got personal connections and political connections to the actual board and the Board of Governors. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how this works, but the Board of Governors, they are appointed by the NCGA, the North Carolina General Assembly, and they choose the leader of the system, the UNC system president. And then chancellors are chosen by a Board of Trustees process that then sends finalists to the UNC system president and is voted on by the Board of Governors. So Allison essentially was voted on by the board he had just left and put forward as a finalist by the guy that he voted to hire months earlier.
Peter Hans, the new president of UNC, was selected by the Board of Governors while Allison was on the Board of Governors.
Exactly. So it couldn't be any messier or more ethically compromised. I mean, almost anybody involved in any sort of reasonable system would look at a system whereby people can leave the Board of Governors, become candidates, then be voted on by the board they just left, including being put forward as finalists by people that they themselves hired, as hopelessly compromised. I mean, so many people, in order for this process to not be compromised, would have to abstain. There were some members of the Board of Trustees and also of the Board of Governors who were not part of this process, but not nearly so many as actually had connections.
So it's obviously provoked quite a response from alumni, faculty, civil rights organizations. As we record this earlier in the week, it's a day on which there are going to be protests in Fayetteville about this. Talk to us about what these people are saying, these folks who are responding to this decision.
Yeah, well, you know, the National Alumni Association for Fayetteville State has been very clear that they think that this is a compromised process. They do not believe that he was the best qualified candidate. They don't think that this was a good decision. And in fact, they've said that they're doing a legal investigation, and they're worried, as are the faculty members, that this could even compromise the school's, you know, reaccreditation process, because there have been schools that have been questioned about chancellor search processes that were compromised as part of the accreditation process. And so today on Monday and then tomorrow on Tuesday, two things are going to happen that are important. One is that this afternoon, Monday afternoon, there's going to be this protest at the NAACP parking lot there in Fayetteville on this, and community members are going to come together and publicly oppose this. And tomorrow, it was just announced late last week that the executive committee of the Board of Trustees of Fayetteville University is going to meet. And this follows what I'm told were some contentious meetings of faculty on this issue, where Mr. Allison did not come across so well that they didn't leave angry.
All that said, it doesn't appear, at least at this point, that there's a strong likelihood that this will be reversed. And Allison has finally come out and spoken about it as well, right? He had sort of kept quiet initially, but has now, I believe he's given an interview or two.
When he was initially announced, there was a press conference, and very quickly, reporters at the press conference began asking questions about the process, because already people were outraged about the process, and he and the head of the Board of Trustees just kind of avoided and were, in fact, told by lawyers who were at the event not to answer questions about the process, and that didn't go so well. I mean, it just stoked more questions. What are they hiding? Why won't they answer these questions? And initially, the school said that he would not be giving any interviews until the 15th of this month, when he's supposed to take office. But controversy continued to mount, and he gave some local interviews to local, you know, papers, radio stations, television stations down in Fayetteville, where he again didn't answer these questions about the process, but answered questions about, you know, the Silent Sam deal, said some sort of sloganeering things like, you know, PhD is an important initials, but what Fayetteville really needs is LEADER, and I'm one of those. I'm a strong leader. Those are the sorts of answers he's giving to questions about his qualifications and the process, and they're really not satisfying most of the people down there who are still upset.
And I suppose it has implications for future chancellor hirings. We've had discussion in the past of politicians seeking. We had House Speaker Tim Moore floated as a possible chancellor at East Carolina University. Do you think that the Board of Governors and the new president are likely to be in any way chastened, or does it seem likely that this is the agenda?
It is the agenda. I mean, they're pretty open about that. And I think if there's a through line in our reporting and the reporting of so many reporters over the course of the last few years in the UNC system, it's that there is this view that this is a political process, that the North Carolina General Assembly, which has a Republican majority right now, is in charge, and that puts them in charge of the university system, it puts them in charge of the Board of Governors. There's not even one member of the Board of Governors who's not a Republican or unaffiliated and heavily tied to Republicans on a 24-member board. And their feeling is, we get our way, we get our people, we get our policy, and they're not terribly concerned about blowback or about how it looks. I mean, courts have reversed decisions that they've made. There have been lawsuits that they've had to settle, but public scrutiny is not something that they seem terribly concerned about. And the way that I have sort of seen it is, I've seen a number of board members essentially say to me about any number of decisions that have happened in the last few years, okay, so listen, the faculty groups are very upset. The students are very upset. Parents are very upset. Alumni groups are very upset. But that's only everybody who goes to the school, everybody who teaches at the school, and everybody who's connected to the school. You know, in the face of what the Board of Governors wants, you know, we're the real caretakers of the school. We will decide the direction. And we're not that concerned about people being outraged at the student, faculty, alumni, even Board of Trustee level. That's just not a concern for us. We're following our own path.
It's a remarkable situation. One just wonders how much longer the people of North Carolina will, before they take notice of what's being done to their university system. But we sure do appreciate you shedding a light on it, Joe. We'll continue to look for your stories. Thanks for your good work. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Coming up next, a new documentary looks at how population growth and soaring housing prices are transforming North Carolina's capital city. Talk to the journalist behind it. Stay with us.